Hello and welcome to More Than Tracy Turnblad, the podcast about fat representation in the arts. Today I am interviewing Spencer Frankeberger. He is an actor, director, writer, and he is also host of a podcast all about pitching theme park rides. It's called Theoretical Thrills, so check that out. Spencer is also a man, which is very exciting. First guy I've had on the podcast, so that was a great perspective to get. I can't wait for you guys to hear our interview. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about another podcast that I am going to be on this week. It's called Dep Impact, Dep as in Johnny. Fun fact, this podcast also grew out of a solo show that premiered in Philly around the same time as mine. The host is Jenna Kersey, and she goes through every one of Johnny Depp's 91 cinematic appearances. So the one that I was there to discuss slash roast is Into the Woods, the movie version with Meryl Streep and, unfortunately, James Corden, and even more unfortunately, Johnny Depp. So check that out if you want to hear two theater nerds geeking out and also roasting Into the Woods, the movie adaptation. So before we get to the episode, I want to talk to you about something exciting that happened to me this week, which is I got my first COVID vaccine. Thanks to that high BMI, baby. I'm sure lots of you are in the same boat, especially if you live in the state of New York, where people with BMI above 30, which is considered obese, can get a vaccine starting, I believe it was February 15th or 16th. But I also started thinking about the BMI because, like, it is a very flawed metric of health. And the history of the BMI, for those who don't know, is it's very shady. It was originally developed in the 1830s by a scientist from Belgium, and he was using it to determine the fatness of a population. It was never meant to be used for individual measures of health. And everyone in that original study was Northern European white men. So it's inherently racist because it doesn't take into account people of color. It doesn't even take into account women. So they kind of had to extrapolate to try and get those standards. And here's a quote from Sabrina Strings, author of Fearing the Black Body. It is racist and also sexist to use mostly white men within your study population and then try to extrapolate that and create norms and expectations for women and people of color. They have not been included in the initial clinical analyses, and therefore their actual health outcomes cannot be determined by these findings. I will link this excellent article by the Huffington Post in the description, as well as a couple others about why the BMI is bogus. Now, I think what the BMI is most famous for in terms of failings is that it doesn't account for people who are very athletic. It doesn't account for muscle mass and actual body composition. So a professional athlete could be considered fat. But beyond that, you have your racism piece, and then you have the way that it has been used since then. Now, something about the BMI that blows my mind is that it changed very suddenly in 1998. Basically, what happened was the standards moved so that more people could be considered obese and overweight. According to CNN, at this time in 1998, millions of Americans became, quote, fat, end quote, Wednesday, even if they didn't gain a pound, as the federal government adopted a controversial method for determining who is considered overweight. So the National Institute of Health basically moved the metric on who could be considered overweight and then obese. So with the old criteria, according to this CNN article, the average woman at 5'4" would be considered overweight if she weighed 155 pounds. New definition, that weight dropped to 145 pounds. So now she would be considered overweight. Okay, and then here's the real kicker from this article. The NIH says the changes are necessary because of studies linking extra weight to health problems. So that change happened right as the obesity epidemic panic was really getting off the ground in the 90s. I'm sure you can imagine millions of Americans becoming fat overnight did not slow down that panic over the obesity epidemic. And it's also really sketchy because higher BMIs is something that insurance companies are able to charge higher premiums for. So that's another reason why the BMI is not great, because it's often its primary use is for that, and to supposedly determine health. Last of all, this is from NPR. It embarrasses the U.S. Quote, it is embarrassing for one of the most scientifically, technologically, and medicinally advanced nations in the world to base action on how to prevent one of the leading causes of poor health and premature death, obesity, on a 200-year-old numerical hack developed by a mathematician who is not even an expert in what little was known about the human body back then. Oh joy, yet another reason for America to embarrass itself. I wish all of you a fast and effective vaccine, no matter your size. I really hope that whatever state you're in gets its shit together so that you can have that protection against COVID. I already feel so much better, even though I haven't left the house and don't leave the house and might never leave the house. But it's just like been great for peace of mind. And I want everyone to have one. So maybe one day we can go back to activities. All right. So now this is my interview with Spencer Frankenberger. So let's get started. Hi, Spencer.
Hello, hello, Abby. How are you?
I am all right. How are you?
Doing good. You know, we're still in this pandemic, but making it work.
Yep. So tell me a little bit about your early artistic life and how you got into what you're doing now.
Sure. So yeah, I am an actor, director, improviser, also writer. When I was a kid, I guess I'll start with the fact that I have partial blindness due to Coates disease, which I was diagnosed when I was 10. So I have a disability and all that, but it made me realize I was not great at sports, so I naturally was drawn to the creative side of things, like the arts, and I found out that I actually can sing, I can, you know, say words on a script, and so I did a lot of elementary school plays, I did musicals in high school, in college, I did a couple of short films with the film school in my hometown, and more musicals, more plays, things like that. And then I got my master's in film production, actually. So I was like, I'll be behind the camera. So I did a lot of directing and writing and then moved out to LA and realized I wanted to do it all. So I was an actor, writer, director, improviser, and still making my own content now that I'm a podcaster.
So cool. And when did size start to show up for you in your theatrical and acting pursuits?
I think for me, I think it showed up really like elementary, middle school, but I didn't realize it was anything until I got older, like really around like college or grad school. And even when I moved out to LA, because it's such a different atmosphere out here, right, with how people perceive you. But I remember there were different times in high school where things were said to me or like in college. And I was like, oh, this must be the way the industry is. This must be the way this thing is regarding my weight and my size that I didn't really pick up on until recently. But I remember as far back as like middle school being teased for being fat. So that was, I definitely remember that for sure. And it definitely has carried with my confidence or lack of throughout high school, college, and even now as a professional in the industry.
Did you notice it showing up like within your theater, your casting, or the way that the people who are casting you treated you, like directors, et cetera?
Oh, yeah. So I remember, and this was my ninth grade year
Absolutely.
Of high school. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. My first year of high school is what I was trying to say. My first year of high school, I was in ninth grade, and I was auditioning for You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And for those that don't know the comic strip, it's literally a tiny little kid who isn't very skinny. I mean, he's got a little bit of a pudge. And so I felt like it's a character that kind of represents, or at the time represented, my body. And I was like, oh, I could probably do this. I sang the songs well and audition and everything. And I went to someone who was 6'5" and very much like very thin. But what happened was, I remember the music director coming up to me and saying, I got cast as the understudy for it. I guess I'll say that. So I was cast as the understudy, and a lot of it was because they don't want to have ninth graders. You know, it's like an age kind of thing. Like the ninth graders are the understudies and the seniors get the leads or whatever. But the type of character that Charlie Brown was, I was like, I feel like I match what Charlie Brown looks like more than someone who's 6'5 and like 150 pounds. Like it doesn't match up to me based on the actual comic strip. But then the music director came up to me and said, I'm so glad when you do your shows because I don't have to change any of the keys for you. You're able to sing all the keys that the original composers intended. And I was like, well, then why am I not the role? Because the other actor, they had to drop, like transpose all the keys down because he was a bass.
Yep.
And so I went to the director and I said, I'm just, the music director really enjoys what I'm doing. And I'm just wondering like why I was the understudy over the other guy. And I remember specifically the director looks me in the eyes and he says, if you ever want to be a lead in this industry, you need to not wear your glasses on stage and lose 50 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle for me because one, as I mentioned, I'm blind, low vision. So taking my glasses off on stage, just all willy nilly is not the most conducive to my access needs. And then also telling me to just drop 50 pounds to play a character who isn't even skinny in the first place is...
Yeah, simply because like, he was the lead.
Right. And that's... Yeah. And it actually makes me think of... And this is the same company. So this is... Maybe I should have like not kept doing things with them. But a couple years later, they were doing High School Musical. And if you look at that show, if you look at that movie... I love that movie. I'm not saying I don't. I love that movie.
Right.
The main leads are all skinny, fit characters.
Mm-hmm.
All of the like four main ones, right? Gabriella, Troy, Ryan, and Sharpay.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, you know, what we typically think of when we look at body representation. And I remember doing High School Musical, and it was the same company. The musical director said, you were the best singer we had auditioned for this show. And then I said, well, I'm just concerned as to why like I'm only getting cast in ensemble. And the director of that show is a different director. She said to me, look, you're not going to play Troy Bolton. And I said, well, I know, but there's other characters in this show that I could play. And then I thought about it and I was like, why can't I play Troy Bolton? Because he has to be a fit jock that looks a certain way. But people are fit and they're not like jock. They don't look, you know, necessarily this or like that. I work out all the time, but it doesn't look like I do.
Right. It's like we suspend our disbelief enough to believe that Troy and Gabriella, who have no singing experience, could completely sight read on the spot perfectly that sheet music Kelsey pulls up for them.
I didn't even think about that. That's funny.
Well, I think about it every single... I'm the child of two musicians, and I think about that every single time I watch that movie.
That's so funny.
One of the best movies. It's an iconic movie, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, like now I'm thinking about it. It's like, how many times has this happened? Like, those are two that I remember... and I will never forget it. And that's what, like, is unfortunate because I was in ninth grade. So that was, you know, I mean, it's like over a decade ago. And it's like one of those things where it's like, why do I still remember that one thing from a show when I was in ninth grade that doesn't matter at, like at all, but those words hit. And that's what I think.
Yeah.
I remember.
And you learned something, you know what I mean? Like that one mm-hmm. thing stuck with you and you learned something very harmful and negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Charlie Brown thing is so interesting because why would Charlie Brown have to be skinny? He's like a bald middle schooler who's incredibly lonely and anxious and sad. Like that, he fits perfectly into our stereotype of a fat kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the fact that he was the lead meant that like a bigger person couldn't play him. That's insane. That's literally just saying right out completely blatantly, we do not want to root for a fat body on stage.
Yeah. And I'm even like, now that you're mentioning it, like I'm even thinking about Peanuts. I'm obsessed with the Peanuts characters. And
I love Peanuts.
And like looking at like, I mean, the animated characters are pretty diverse. If you look at what characters there are, because you do have a fat lead, you've got different ethnicities, you know, and I think that that's something that's interesting. And it's crazy how like, diverse, I realize, I'm like, these animated characters are diverse, so why can't we in real life be diverse? It's right. Like weird. But
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of those characters would ever need to be skinny for any reason. And the way the cartoons are drawn, they don't look particularly skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because I've always wanted to play Lucy. Like, that was a dream of mine as a kid. And there was a point at which I felt like I was too fat to do it. But I don't know if I could even put my finger on why now. I guess because she talked about being pretty all the time. But, like, I was such a Lucy kid, like, so bossy, so self-obsessed.
But even then, like, Lucy makes mistakes. I mean, she's a human. And I feel like that's what we need to understand is when
she also, like, takes up a lot of space. Like, she's very unapologetic.
Right.
I would completely believe a fat Lucy. Like, I mean, that has no bearing on her character whatsoever.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where it's like, we're all humans. These characters are humanistic qualities. They're not like, this is a skinny person's characteristics. This is a fat person's characteristics. It's literally, this is how a human interacts with people. And so I think that that's something to also like think about, how if you look at Disney animated movies, again, I love the Disney animated movies. I mean, who doesn't? they're classics. But I'm looking at the characters of, you know, the princes and the princesses, or like the heroes and heroines and all of that. And I'm thinking, which of these characters do I feel most relate to who I am as either an individual who's blind or an individual who is plus size? And I don't see either of those. And it's like, so one, you're telling me that I'm not valid because I don't see myself represented. But two, you're also telling me that this is how I should be. And that's what I think is almost more terrifying. It's like, because they're animated characters. They're animated characters and they're all very tiny. But it's like sometimes we think that's how we should look because that's how we see it portrayed, even if it is just a cartoon.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, all the fat people, oh, they'll just be the villains or they'll be the bad guys or they'll be the dumb people. And I'm like, I'm not dumb. Like, you know, and it's like, because it's like in what 101 Dalmatians, there's the two Lucy Goosey Cruella de Vil sidekicks. And I think one of them's like more plus size or like bigger. And he's like the oaf. He's like the one who doesn't get it.
Yep.
And it's like, really? Why is that?
It's present in everything. And we latch onto Disney so much because I think for a lot of us, it's like such a big part of our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a kid, I was really into Beauty and the Beast and I was already fat at this point. And so I knew I would never play Belle. Like I knew that and I was 10. And I was like, oh, I'd love to play Mrs. Potts. And like, that's the role that I latched onto and decided I saw myself in, even though I have nothing in common with Mrs. Potts. She's a mother. I'm 24 and I'm like not a mother.
Yeah. And I want to even bring up, like you said, like immediately when you saw that movie, you knew you would never play Belle. Why?
Oh, yeah.
I have a question of that. Like, it's like, and I get it. Like, I understand where that's coming from because I have the same thing. I'm like, I'm never going to be Hercules, even though I'm Greek. But it's like one of these things where it's like, why is that? Why as a 10-year-old are you already assuming that and thinking that? It's because that's what we've been told as society or based on what we see. It's like that's the representation we get.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I don't look like that person. I don't look like that. So I'm never going to be.
We learn that fat is bad so young, like kindergarten. Like, do you know the song Kindergarten Boyfriend?
I don't. Like, it sounds like is that from a musical?
It's from Heather's the Musical.
Ah, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, I do.
Yeah. I have a lot of issues with the character of Martha in the musical specifically because I think that she is like so the tragic fat girl stereotype, like the and she's also dumb because any sane fat person who goes through their life being mocked and bullied and humiliated constantly for everything they do is not going to keep putting themselves out there. Like, we're just not. I mean, like, and I take offense because I'm not that stupid. You know what I mean? And like the fact that Martha is like, she's still stuck in this kindergarten mindset, this unrealistic idea that anyone would ever love her the way she is, is like so messed up on so many levels. And like, the truth is in kindergarten, we already know fat is bad. Like, we already know.
It's so wild. I have made it a point to make a musical every year since I moved out to LA. I'm going to write like a 40-minute musical for the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And someone was like, why are you doing that? And I was like, well, one, I want to be creative. But then I really thought about it and I was like, because I want to create a role that I can play. I want to create the lead that I want to play. And so I put my, and people are like, you always put yourself in your shows.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, because I don't get the opportunity to do it. I don't get to be that lead role or like the love interest or this or that or the other. I'm always the sidekick. I'm always this. And I love doing those. Like, that's great. But every time I get a chance to challenge myself, it's a lot of fun. And so I've written those musicals to make it so that I can get the opportunities that I don't usually get. And even with Beauty and the Beast, going back to that, I'm like, well, I could be the Beast, sure. But I'm not going to be the Beast, because when he turns into the Prince, that's not the look I have. So even though the Beast is 99% of the musical, I can't be that Beast because...
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Fiona, right? That's like fat representation that we'll never see, because even though she's actually an ogre and like plus size, like that's just not what she has to be believably beautiful for most of the show. I say beautiful in air quotes for those of us not in our Zoom right now, which is everyone but me and Spencer. Yeah, Shrek, on the other hand, is the opposite case, where he's in a fat suit. He does not need to be, but we still cast him in
as fat suits
as Shrek.
Because Shrek is literally an ogre.
I think about this all the time.
And again, this is, you know, this thing where it's like he's portrayed to be fat and ugly, but really deep down he's not. And it actually is a very body positive movie overall, because he is the hero. We do fall in love with him. We do fall in love with
it
this character.
It is. It
and
is.
Even then with Fiona, which we know that she's like, oh, I'm so ashamed that I turned into an ogre or whatever, which she's not ashamed of it. But she, as a princess, a beautiful princess, is in love with this guy who everyone kind of shuns as being like ugly and fat. But she's the beautiful princess. So why can't that exist?
And the thing about Shrek that's unusual too, and that I think makes him really good fat representation for a guy, is that he gets to express the pain of being fat. He's not just the joke. He's like, he's honestly commenting on all those stereotypes when he sings, you know, build me a wall and, you know.
Well, who I'd be.
Who I'd be, even, yes.
which I love, because even, I love that musical so much now that I'm thinking about it. It's one of my favorite recordings.
Oh my God, me too.
You know, who I'd be. I guess I'd be a hero. I guess I'd be a Viking. I guess I'd be here with sword and armor clashing and a Viking. All of these things make me think of all these like real buff, ripped, like, you know, 6 foot five, beefy, athletic guys. And I'm like, I relate with Shrek. I guess I could be a Viking. I guess I could be a hero. That's who I'd be. Why can't I be? I mean, I don't have any reason to be a Viking, but you know, why can't I be whatever I want to be? And I think that's thinking about it, it's a great message.
For sure. So how has this, all this fat phobia stuff influenced you as a professional in your life in LA?
So when I first moved out to LA, it was a bit of a culture shock, not specifically because of the atmosphere. Uh-huh. Like, it's hot. There's a lot of people. This is what I'm used to in Florida. But because everyone feels like they are trying to be a model, or they're trying to look good all the time and all of this. And so I don't see a lot of people with, like, I've got like a very big gut that I'm very self-conscious about, because I don't see anyone else who kind of does that. And it's one of those things where, like, I've seen it. I'll start with something that I feel, and then I'll get into a positive moment.
Okay.
But like, what I see is, like, when I go to auditions, like, I'll get called in for a role, and it's that thing of, you know, as actors, we're like, oh, we don't look like anyone else. Like, I don't think I'm right for this role. But I go in and I'm like, man, there's no one here that feels like they are out of shape, or that they're not athletic, or that they're not a model. And I'm the one here, and I feel like they're calling me in because I'm the comedic guy, or I'm this guy, and that's the take they want. So I feel like I have to cater towards what I feel they're looking for, when I know they just want me to be me. But what I've learned from it is that it is important for me to be like, I don't look like everyone else. I look like me, and I'm unique, and this is what I'm going to bring to the table. I'm going to offer what I know and what I can do. And I think that that's something that I've discovered. But I also know everyone loves to like eat like, you know, healthy stuff. And like, I eat healthy stuff. It doesn't always help, but I like to also like enjoy what I eat.
That's always been something that's scared me about LA. And when I've thought about like, oh, where do I want to end up? Where do I want to be? What market do I want to be in? Like, I think I always immediately disqualified LA because I was aware of that culture and that's the stereotype. So I wanted to talk about masculinity specifically and how that has been influenced by your size in the ways that you're perceived both in life and in your work.
Yeah, so I'll start with work first, because I think it's a little bit easier to wrap my brain around. As far as work, one of the biggest things I've noticed is throughout like cinematic history and throughout theater history, a lot of plus size fat males are generally made to be the comedic relief or the butt of the joke. And this one scenario, which we had, you know, prior talked about is, you know, it's like if I like sometimes I've done some casting and I'm like choosing between this person and this person, one who's like, you know, pretty fit and athletic and the other one who is fat. And I'll ask people, I'm like, you know, like this character has to wear this like goofy outfit or whatever, like a tutu or a clown outfit or whatever. And I said, which of these people feels like the right character? And almost every time people are like the fat one, fat is always funnier.
Right.
And it's so stressful because like at the time I never thought anything of it. And I was like, oh, that must be the case. But then I was like, why is that? Like, why? Yeah. Because it's different than like, so I think it's like fat is funny and skinny is funny. I think for me, it feels like skinny is funny because they're funny. Fat is funny because you get to laugh at them.
Right.
And I think that that's where it feels different because I'm like, oh, what are some like movies that I love where the character is fat, but they're not like the sidekick or the butt of the joke. And I can't think of any for me that I enjoy or any really in general that I can think of where other than Shrek, which is an animated character and not a real life character, where that is the case.
And in real life, he's played by a thin guy in a fat suit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. And when you brought that up, I was like, wait, I could totally play Shrek. And I don't know why.
You should play Shrek.
Every time I've seen it. And I don't, thank you. It's one of my dream roles now. But I also am like, every time I've seen it, it has been a very skinny, very skinny guy. And they put a pillow in him. And I'm like, you don't have to do any extra work for me. I'm literally here.
I'm going to save you money.
Like, yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. But also, like, Shrek is green.
Right.
So, like, no one's green. Like,
yeah.
He's animated. He's literally an ogre.
Right.
What do ogres... We don't know what they look like, really. But in this case, he's fat. So why don't we just go, if we're going to make everything look the same way that we think it is, why are we changing this?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, just in real life, I think I always, it's like a weird thing. Like, I always feel like I'm walking on eggshells whenever I go anywhere, like with, you know, my friends who all tend to be not as big as I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be looked at as that friend, like that funny friend or like that fat friend or like that sidekick. And it's weird because like I feel very comfortable around my friends, but that's something that I always think about. It's like, am I being, you know, am I like, you know, like the super funny best friend who's just kind of like here for a good time and like, you know, everyone's like, oh, get a load of Spencer over in the corner. Like, oh boy, he's real, you know. And so I think it's like one of those things where like, I'm sure that's not even the case, but that's how I feel because that's how it's kind of like been ingrained in me.
Exactly.
Is that idea of like, I am that, like,
oh yeah,
I am that comic relief. I am that.
Oh yeah. I'm the girl that all the guys draw straws and whoever gets the short straw has to spend the night with her. Right. Like, yeah. Speaking of all those media representations that get inside your head, which fat characters were very formational to you other than the ones we've already covered?
That's a great question. And again, for me as a guy, it's a lot harder because there's not as much, but I know like I haven't seen the movie in a while, but Chris Farley in Beverly Hills Ninja, for whatever reason, I feel like he's a big guy, Chris Farley, but he is like learning how to be a ninja, I think.
That's awesome.
But it's going in. That's all I remember, honestly. I haven't seen it in so long.
That'll stick with you.
But growing up with it. Yeah. But it's like, you know, talking about the idea of masculinity, that's where it's like, he's not like just like settling for the fact that it's like, oh, I'm this big guy. I guess I should just do like whatever shenanigans. It's like, I want to fight bad guys. I want to be this like hero.
Yeah.
And it is like that almost like that rags to riches story, but from like, this like goofy guy to like the hero kind of thing where it's like the big oaf turns into the hero, which inadvertently is a lot of fat characters, which like, it's great, but it's like, I also don't want to be just like, oh, even despite my fatness, I'm still the hero. It's like, why can't I just be the hero from the start? Right. Why do I have to be like the lovable loser who just inadvertently becomes the person to save the day? It's hard as a guy, I think, to find a character who I feel like I relate to that is plus size or fat that also tends to have these caricatures that I want in a real human.
Yeah, one that's super meaningful to me actually is Jack Black in The Holiday because he's playing this character that's like sort of this lovable, nerdy film guy. And he ends up getting with like Kate Winslet, and it's lovely. And he clearly has like some self-esteem stuff about his size, but like it doesn't come into play with his actual relationship with her. That's a very meaningful one to me. Just like seeing a fat man in a rom-com. And even though they're kind of the supporting characters to the like Cameron Diaz, Jude Law characters, like they still have their love story. It's like nothing I think I've seen in other movies, because in other movies, if a fat character falls in love, it's made a joke out of.
Mm. And that's the big thing, I think, with that, is that there's an actual love story in an arc versus like it just being like this like character that's just kind of along for the ride because, hey, let's put a fat person in here. It's always make it funnier with the comedy.
Right.
But like it also makes me think of, as someone with a disability, how there's this thing going around now about disability. Like, why is there no like scenes of disability, people with disabilities being in love or making love or anything like this? It's like we love too. Like why is it like, it's not a thing that like, it's just like, it's weird that it's like, there's always certain ways that you see things done. So I'm actually going to watch that movie because thinking about seeing like this character, and especially knowing Jack Black's, you know, filmography, he definitely is like the goofy nerdy character, which we love about it. But seeing him have a chance to have a love scene, or like a scene or a character that falls in love with someone, is great because it's something different, but also it does plug that representation, which I think is also awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Kung Fu Panda. I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
I love Po. Again, he's a panda, but I mean, I would say he's got enough humanistic qualities.
He's very anthropomorphic. Yeah,
he is very much, but he's so lovable. And it's not even that he does anything. He's like, you know, a little all over the place, but he's the one that saves the day all the time. I mean, really, he's the one that saves everybody, whether it's inadvertent or not, but he's lovable. And no one's like, oh, you're a big panda. It's just like, he's a panda and he's proud of it. And like, why not?
Honestly, something that this is so silly, but it's weird that the tiny places you can find confidence in your body. And one place for me has been that pandas are like one of my favorite animals. And so are polar bears. And they're both like naturally fat animals and they're still cute. And I'm like, maybe I look like a panda and that would be absolutely fine because pandas are adorable.
I always say that my favorite animal is an elephant because I'm large and loud. And I think that represents it. But also, like, everyone loves elephants. Like, who doesn't love an elephant?
They're so cute.
Like, yeah. So it's like,
they're so smart.
Who doesn't like
what? They paint things.
Like, yo, so smart. So smart.
Yeah.
And, like, they also, like, have this nature. Like, if you have a skinny elephant and a fat elephant, they get along. They're both elephants.
Right. It's inspirational.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, why can't a fat person and a skinny person, like, why do we have to be like, you're in this category, you're in this category,
yeah,
and that's how it's going to be.
Right.
Why? Why does it have to be that way?
It's really interesting the way that we kind of glorify fat animals. Like, if you ever see pictures of fat cats on the internet, everyone's like, oh, the chonk. And like, yeah, the fat cat is cute. But like, no one's doing that for me, a fat person. You know, right. And then like, well, a fat like person posts too. A picture of themselves, or it's like Lizzo or something, and everyone jumps down their throat and it's like, you're glorifying obesity. And I'm like, no, you are glorifying cat obesity.
And it's also interesting because the Lizzo picture, you know, she's got a lot less that she's wearing. But so I admire that because even if she looks confident, and I don't know, I mean, maybe Lizzo is like the most confident person in the world. It would be hard for me to do something like that. And so I admire that because who knows how much it took her to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Especially because she gets so much backlash. Like the amount of trolling she must deal with on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, like it actually does take strength and yes, bravery. However, if you're listening to this and you're not fat, never tell a fat person they're brave for posting a picture of themselves. Please don't.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Well, it's even like with disability. One of the big things is we say, don't say that we're an inspiration for being able to do normal human things. Like, I'm not an inspiration because I can do this with one eye. Like, I'm just a human that has one eye that can also still do the same things. Like, not an inspiration by doing something.
Exactly.
So I think that going off of that brave thing, it's like, for me, I don't know if I could do that. So I admire it. But again, it's not like, oh, you're such an inspiration because you're doing that. It's again, it's like that. It's that line where it's like, compliments are great, but compliments for the purpose of are different.
Yeah. It's a very backhanded compliment calling,
yeah,
you know, someone brave or inspirational. It's just like, mm-hmm. there are better compliments. Like, how about you look beautiful? How about I'm happy for you?
Yeah.
It could be very easy.
Way to go.
Right.
Literally, yeah. Just way to go.
There you go. Let's talk about theater versus film. How do you see this show up differently in there?
That's a great question. And it bugs me to say it, but I have to say it. They always say the camera adds 10 pounds.
Right.
With film. And it's funny to me how that gets in my head, because yeah. I always think it does, because I go back and watch stuff. I don't necessarily like watching myself, but when I go back and watch stuff, I'm like, wow, I look so big. I think the camera did add 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if that's true or not. I'm sure it is, but it's also like, I'm going into film thinking I have to lose weight. I have to do this because I know I'm going to see that 10 pounds appear back on camera. So I'm getting into the psychological thing.
Right.
On theater, there's not as much of a closer situation. So for like live theater, I could be in a, you know, 200 people seeing my seeing a show that I'm in, and I'm, you know, in the back or whatever, and that's great and whatever, and I'm like, you know, whatever, this is great. But I've also noticed that both are both very flexible with accessibility, but both also, I always get put in the back a lot in theater when yeah. there's big dance numbers. One, I can't dance, which is fine, but I'm always in the back because I don't look like a mm-hmm. dancer. But two, I have costumes. And I have a story, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I did a show once, and I remember it was like a scene where we were like wearing pajamas, I think. And it wasn't the pajama game, which there's not really many pajamas in that. Anyways, but with the pajamas, they had me try these pants on. They're like, those will work. And I'm like, I was like, I need a size bigger. And they're like, no, these will be fine. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm going to rip these pants are going to rip at some point because they're very tight and I don't feel comfortable in them. And they were like, you'll be fine. So we went out to go to rehearsal, and I hopped up onto the platform that we were on. And the second I got on the platform, I hear, and my pants ripped.
Oh my God.
And so then I became a big laughing stock because everyone's like, did you just rip your pants? And I'm like,
no.
Yeah. And I'm like, now I'm the fat guy who ripped his pants. So, and I went back to the costumer and they said, did your pants rip? I said, yeah, I said they were going to rip because I didn't feel comfortable with them. I didn't feel great.
Mm.
And they were just like, it'll be fine because that's the look we want. That's what we want. And I feel like that's also with film. I have that where it's like, I feel like I love headshots. I love providing headshots and reels as opposed mm-hmm. to full body shots. Because when I have headshots, you can't necessarily tell how big I am. You can kind of see because I got a little, you know, something going on in the cheeks.
Right.
But you don't know that. And mm-hmm. the things that I get frustrated with film is, and I get it, commercials, I don't see anybody like me in a commercial. I do not see it at all. Because people want to sell their products, and apparently fat doesn't sell, according to a lot of film. Which they're changing now, which is great.
It has been changing a bit. Which makes me really excited because I love commercials yeah. and I would love to be in commercials.
It's great. And that's where the money is too. Commercials are fun. But what I've noticed is when I get, like when I go to like do an audition for a short film or a feature, they're like, please give us a full body scan. And I'm like, why do you need that? Because a lot of times this is also the thing that stresses me out is when I go to like Actors Access or LA Casting or Casting Breakdowns, Casting Networks,
yeah.
you know, Backstage, whatever it is, it'll say, and the wording, it's like, looking for someone who is handsome. And I'm like, I know that I'm not going to even submit for this
oh, yeah.
because mm-hmm. based on society, I'm not considered handsome. So why should I even bother? Even though it's like goofy, quirky, fun, but also handsome. And I'm like, well, then I can play that character. I just don't have that look. Or when it says fit, and the word fit bugs me because
me
I'm like, well, technically I'm fit because I work out 5 or 6 times a week. If you want me to run sprints for an hour, I could do it.
Right.
But I don't look like I could. So I know that when you say fit, you don't mean me.
Yeah.
You mean someone who is completely looks like they're in shape. Whether or not they are, whether or not they can run those sprints for an hour is a different story. But you want someone who looks like they can run
right.
those sprints.
It's also, it's a great way to sneakily say able-bodied. Like,
oh, very much. Very much so. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I remember I submitted for a couple of casting notices that were like, we're looking for all different kinds of people. The more unique, the better. If you're quirky, if you're weird and all this stuff. And I'm like, that's great. But I know that I'm just going to be almost used as like, I have a disability, so I'm diverse. I'm fat, so I'm diverse. And like having this, like, it's like this idea of like, I'm just, they're going to cast me because I'm that kind of unique, not because of my personality or because I'm right. Greek or because I like to wear glasses. It's because of that. Like, ooh, we have all these skinny people. Let's get a fat person in.
Mm.
And I think luckily the industry is changing because all these underrepresented categories are coming out and saying, hey, we also exist as humans. And I think luckily body positivity is getting thrown into that mix as well, which is great because it is true. And if you look at the people in America, a lot of people are overweight, obese, fat, whatever it is, probably more so than the people who are average skinny Americans. And so it's like the representation should go where the majority of people are. And that's just not what we're doing.
I think that mm-hmm. we want to see that. We're so into this like new body positivity, anti-diet, like love yourself kind of culture. And so like, mm-hmm. we do want to see like diversity in body size. We just do. And like, it means mm-hmm. so much to people who aren't, you know, thin or straight size to see themselves represented. And it would mean yeah. even more if it wasn't just this one token once in a while. I also want to go back to what you said about headshots, because uh-huh. I don't know if other fat actors have a concern about this. You know, I went to an amazing headshot photographer who got me from all the right angles. And of course, those were the ones I picked. And so you can kind of see it, but you like kind of have to look for it. So I was wondering what your stance on that is. And do you list your weight on your resume or pant size or anything?
I don't list any identifiable things like weight, height, and especially like eye color, because of one of my eyes has a calcium buildup on the cornea. So right. I actually don't, like, are my eyes brown? Sure. But one of my eyes is actually like cloudy looking. So it's like, what do I put? But I leave all of that off because I would rather my package speak for itself
yeah.
before I go into the room. And if someone has this notion of like, oh, this guy looks like he's bigger and I'm looking for someone skinny, then that's probably not someone I want to work for, because they're mm-hmm. not willing to give me a chance because of the way I look.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing for me. So, but for me, I do agree with the headshots. It's like, I want to present who I am because that's what a headshot should be, is I don't want to go yeah. in the room and then they get that feeling of like, well, it's like, you know, the whole dyeing your hair thing. You have brown hair in your headshots, but then you go in and you're blonde and they're like, this is not, I wanted the brown hair. Where's
exactly,
the brown hair?
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's like Actors Access, like the weight's on there. So I put right. it on there. I don't like put it on my resume. I don't say it, but if someone wants to know, they can go find it. It's, mm-hmm. it's there. It's public information, but I don't shout it from the rooftops. But I think that with the headshots, I try to be as honest as possible. But I also think another thing is, my resume speaks for itself too. You can see my resume and you can see the characters that I've played, and especially in theater. Those characters are all the sidekicks. They're all the comic relief. They're all this. So it almost feels like people can assume what I really look like based on those characters I've played.
Yeah.
Not always the case. I mean, that's obviously you're betting, you know, not 100 out of 100,
right.
but it's one of those things where I'm like, it's like, I want to do some drama, but I'm only getting brought in for comedy because I don't have really any dramatic stuff, because I haven't really right. been given the chance to do dramatic stuff, because I'm a big guy. So of course I'm going to be funny.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to be the comic relief, but God forbid if I'm a cop or a detective, like,
I know, but like, look at like Tony Soprano. Like there's lots of, there are, they do yeah. exist.
King of Queens. It's like, I mean, that's a comedy, but I mean, are detectives all in good shape? Are cops all in good shape?
I know. Like,
are doctors all in good shape?
Isn't there a stereotype of cops loving donuts? It goes hand in hand with your fat stereotypes. If you're going to go there, go
exactly.
there.
Exactly. I mean, take a look at The Simpsons.
Oh, for sure.
But it's like, it is that thing where it's like, who said that all detectives are in good shape? Who said all cops are in good shape? Who said all lab scientists are in good shape? I could play a mean lab scientist. Not a mean
lab. Oh my
lab,
gosh,
you know,
yeah,
a good,
absolutely.
A lab scientist. Like, that's my look. Like, that's my brand. It's like you know, the hacker type, like the lab scientist
yeah.
type. Why do they all have to be skinny? Why? A hacker Why are all the hackers skinny? They're sitting around on their computer all day. Why are they all skinny?
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, right? But it's like characters that are like fiction. Why are all fiction characters skinny?
Yeah.
They don't exist. We don't, especially ones that we don't have images for.
Yeah.
They're fake. They're not real characters. Why do they have to be a certain look?
Yeah, so this actually brings me very well to the part where I put you on the spot, which is a segment called Cast Me Cowards, where you name one role that you would like to either play or that you would like to see someone else play who is like larger. And it just has to be any role that is traditionally would be played by a thinner person.
Oh, can I do one for me and one for someone else?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I immediately thought of Nikki Blonsky from Hairspray.
Uh-huh.
Because she's great. I would love to see her as Elle Woods in Legally Blonde.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I would love to see her do that. And for me, see, if I could pick anything, this is where it gets exciting. I would love to be, I always told I should be, what's his name? Master of the House in Les Mis. What's his name?
Oh, Thénardier.
Thénardier. Mm-hmm. Thénardier. But I would love to be Javert. I would love to be Jean Valjean.
Yeah.
I've never seen a fat actor or a bigger plus size actor play either of those characters. And I would love to do that. Yeah. But because I'll say, like, I really want to be Horton and Susan Cole, Seymour and Little Shop, and Josh Baskin and Big, and Shrek and Shrek. But again, none of those are characters that I feel like are specific to skinny or
they're
whatever.
Not,
but again,
like, Horton's an elephant cast and a lot of people. Skinny people?
I don't think Seymour ever has, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe that's what I should, like,
oh, my God, I would love that. But and I would love that for you so much. Seymour is...
Maybe I should change it.
And Seymour is, like, the Jack Black in the Holiday of musical theater. mm-hmm. I could talk about Seymour all night. I know there was that controversy about hot Seymours a while ago. Did you follow that?
No, but now that you say it, I can see that.
Right. So, like, the controversy was, like, why are we casting these ridiculously hot Seymours? Because Seymour's whole thing is that he's, like, nerdy. And while, like, I'm not disputing that Jeremy Jordan and Jonathan Groff can play nerdy excellently, it's just, like, the opportunity is right there to cast someone who's not as conventionally attractive. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Seymour's story of, like, ending up with, like, this wonderful woman that he's been in love with forever is a happy it's mm-hmm. almost a happy ending. In the movie it's a happy ending.
Well, but even thinking about it, it's like, and this is never say this to someone who's fat, but as someone who's bigger, the plant would love to eat me more than it would love to eat a skinny guy because I have more meat on my body.
The plant could keep you for long, could like keep going with you for longer. Yeah. I guess
I'm more sustainable.
I mean, to be fair, the plant really eats blood, but maybe blood is just like a nice snack for him. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, but big spoiler alert, I guess. Big spoiler alert, in the real show, they just all get eaten. So, you know, the plant's just like gobbling them down.
Right, right, right.
But sorry, big spoiler alert.
Oh my God.
If you haven't seen that now, then
you
probably
haven't seen
it. If
you haven't seen Little Shop of Horrors, go watch the movie. I'm watching this.
And then
I mean,
see the musical
when we keep forgetting this isn't a video podcast. So last thing I want to touch on is your podcast. And you have a podcast about theme parks. And I want to talk about the way theme parks treat weight and disability, both in terms of their performers and in terms of like ride limits.
Yeah, this is great. This could be like a whole episode on its own.
Yeah.
But some of the biggest things I picked up on is I went to a lot of theme park auditions as a performer. And, you know, I've done a lot of improv. I've done this, I've done that. And I go to all these different theme parks and they're like, if you check this box, and this box, you're likely going to get cast or get a callback or whatever, which is not a good thing to say in general from someone who's casting, to say like, if you check these boxes, we'll bring you in. But I check all those boxes and I'm like, what's going on? And after a while, I went to certain things multiple times. I went to like different theme parks all throughout Southern California and I wasn't cracking anything. And I literally asked on a Facebook group, I was like, can I get someone's advice? I've been going to a lot of theme park auditions. I've had people coach me on my theme park auditions. People who have played for those shows have given me certain songs to go in an audition with and are like, tell the casting team I've said hi and all this. And I never make it past the first round. And I'm like, I'm doing everything right, I feel like. I feel like it was one of my best auditions. The accompanist one time was like, you were stellar. And I was like, thanks. They don't, you know, they usually just like, get your music, take it, give it back to you. But he thought I was stellar. And I had asked this, and someone who cast for theme parks literally said, I'm going to be completely blunt with you. It's because of your eye. And she's like, the reason is because, and this is where my disability comes in, is she said, because your eyes look different, it can be a distraction to guests. And it made me think of like disability, but also with being a bigger guy. People are so stuck on seeing very fit, active people in these shows.
You are a fit, active person.
Right. And I am. But do I look like it? That's what society is saying. Right. I don't. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was like, telling me I'm not getting cast because of my eye. First of all, it's discrimination. Which I've also learned in the acting industry is just kind of how it is. Which is also a weird thing in general, is people can just not cast you based on what you look like.
Right.
Without real problems there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's theme parks are such a small niche market that it's so hard to even crack into that without feeling like... it's like sometimes I'm like, why even bother going? Because I know they're not going to bring, because of my eye, because of my weight, because of whatever it is. And I know that I've gone in and I'm like, I have killed these auditions. There are times where I left and I was like, I feel great. And I didn't get a call back or anything. And I was like, and then, you know, I know someone else I know is like, oh, I got called back. And I'm like, we're getting called back for a singing show and you don't even sing. How are you getting called back? And it's so frustrating because thinking about it, like, maybe as a face character, I could see because I'm that up close. Again, there's makeup, there's effects. We can make it work.
Right.
You know, all these kind
there's
of things.
There's also like, do you fit the costume?
But also, that's another thing. They're like, I've learned there a lot of times I haven't gotten cast because they're looking for a specific. It's like looking for a male 5'6" who's 112 pounds. I'm like, who? How many people are
yeah,
there? Like,
that happens a lot.
But it's like all the costumes are made for skinny people.
Yeah.
So if you're wanting people to fit in those costumes, you're never going to get bigger people because they're fitting the smaller costume.
Exactly. It's convenient.
But I love theme parks.
Me too. I would love to work at a theme park. Hire us to be in a theme park.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed a lot of the cruise ship and theme park auditions are the ones where they say, looking for diversity. And then they say looking for a fit athletic build, which is it's the acting version of no fatties.
Right. And there's a difference. Like, so there are times where there's like dance calls and I'm like, I'm not going to do it because I know I'm not a good dancer. And if they're looking for dancers, that's one thing. But if they say, oh, this is a play and we're looking for people who can like, you can't dance. I'm like, what does that have to do with the play that has no dancing in it at all? Like, I know the difference between a dance call where I'm not a dancer and a call where I don't look like a dancer. So I'm not getting cast.
Yeah.
I think I know the difference.
Yeah. So last question is, what are you doing or what do you wish other people were doing to combat fat phobia in the arts?
Mm. Well, one thing I'm doing is because advocacy has been so big for me lately mm-hmm. with disability and with fat phobia.
Yeah.
Is finding what works for me to feel comfortable in my body so I can share that with others. But one thing that I wish people in the industry would know is that you can tell me to try every diet. You can tell me to just work out. You can tell me to do this. And I'm already doing it. Whatever you're suggesting, I'm probably already doing. So unless you have the miracle fix for everybody, I don't need you to tell me how to live my life. Like I'm trying. I'm dieting. I'm also not dieting. I'm working out. I'm not working out. I'm doing all of those things. The things that you're going to suggest to me, I've probably already done or am doing.
Yeah.
And so telling me, oh, if I just do this, I'll lose weight or I'll drop this quickly. It's mm-hmm. not going to help me because one, it makes me feel like you don't trust my body.
Yeah.
But two, you're also preaching to the choir. I've tried these things.
Right. 100%. Like something that a lot of people don't realize is that like fat people know all about diets, weight loss, nutrition. We are like science whizzes a lot of the time. And a lot of the time we've already tried all this stuff and either it hasn't worked or it has worked and it wasn't sustainable. So then we mm-hmm. can't keep it up.
Mm-hmm. And it's also like, I don't want to just eat lettuce.
And like, you're expecting so much. Like, are you expecting right. me to do the keto diet for the rest of my life so I can be in a smaller body and be cast in more things? Because, like, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do that. When I did the keto diet, I did not leave my house because I could not leave my house. Because if I left, I wouldn't be able to hit my macros because I wouldn't be near all my ingredients. Like, I'm at a point where I'm like, I would rather stay fat than, like, sacrifice everything else in my life.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather enjoy my food and enjoy my life.
Yeah.
Instead of being miserable.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, or even if you're not, just please don't make comments about diets. Don't give us diet advice. We don't need it. I promise you, we are not stupid. We have lived in these bodies for longer than you probably know, and we have been around the block. So, like, I love how I'm saying that as, like, a 24-year-old, but, like, I've been around the block.
Well, it's okay. I just turned 30, so I've been around the block.
That's so sad that 30 is around the block.
I know, right? But also, I spent my 30th birthday in quarantine, so what can I say?
Yeah, I spent 24 in quarantine.
There you go.
But here's hoping for 31 and 25.
Yeah, right? Exactly. 25 is a good year. 31 just kind of getting closer to 40, I guess, at that point.
No, you're going to have a great year. You're going to have an amazing 31. Plus, everyone knows the years in quarantine don't count, so.
That's true. So I'll turn 30 next year.
You'll be 30 forever. You'll be like Jenna Maroney, who's 29 when she's 42.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Spencer. Thank you for taking the time here. This was such a wonderful conversation. Where can people find you? Plug your stuff.
The easiest way to find all of my stuff is you can go to my website, which is www.spencerfrankeberger.com. SpencerFrankeberger. Or you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. TikTok included. At Spencer101F.
Cool. Well, thank you again. This was wonderful. And I wish you all the best in your endeavors.
Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best as well.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening to More Than Tracy Turnblad. If you liked it, hit subscribe and leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. That would be awesome. Also, follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all at More Than Tracy T. And just tell your friends. Word of mouth is great, too. You can find more information at morethantracyturnblad.com.